Shadow. Ray smacked the NFL. Ray smacked making big money in the NFL. And you actually have a good pension. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation, with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find out what you're looking for today.
Is that the first jealous Pantera call-out?
It wasn't a jealous. It was a factual.
I see.
Just a factual comment.
Never asked another man this, but how's your pension right now?
It's pretty good, right?
If I turn my microphone.
Yeah.
There you go. Right
better.
There. Yeah.
And see, it still happens. It used to happen when I come in at 6 a.m. I would always forget to turn my mic off.
But that's over here because there's stupid two buttons. Whoever designed the studio, that you only have one button now that you're sitting there.
I still can't handle that.
I want to walk you through third and two, and I want to have your reaction straight to fans at almost every step of this. And I think all the fans remember it. Nice completion makes second and 10 turn into third and two on an 8-yard gain. 2-minute warning hits, and now you've got the third and two. So you're in the huddle. You got a rookie quarterback. You're looking around the huddle, and there's no David Johnson in it. And you hear the play call coming from Josh Rosen. As a veteran offensive lineman, are you thinking, what the crap just happened? Or are you, I'm just focused on the play right now. What is an offensive lineman thinking when that comes out of the rookie's mouth?
First thing that's coming out is, all right, okay, what's my assignment on this? What are they going to run in the front? I'm not looking at the personnel first and foremost. I'm like, hey, what do I need to do? Who do I have to block?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What call do I need to make potentially running to the line of scrimmage? What can they give me? What are their tendencies on third and short? What fronts have they shown me? What are the adjustments, blitzes, dogs? That's what's going through your mind. I mean, you process so much information from play call to lining up on the line of scrimmage to the snap time. You don't pay attention to who's behind you, because in my mind as an offensive lineman, it doesn't matter who's behind me, because I'm going to block this guy so far up the field that we can literally put anybody behind me and run this and get this play.
So fourth and five now. Are you still thinking back to third and two, or are you already moved on when the fourth and five call comes in?
Oh, I've moved on. I'm like, well, that didn't work.
Okay.
Next play.
Okay.
All right, what do we have now?
Next play.
Okay.
What's
so
creative?
When you do start thinking about it is when? Will you start thinking about it yourself as a player? To me, it was always on Monday. It was in the film room. It was sitting there watching.
Really? Because I thought it would be in the locker room after the game.
It's sitting there in, no. For the most part, every man is an island after a game.
Yeah.
For the most part, unless you win. If you lose, and I unfortunately had a lot of experience losing, you are deep in your own thoughts. Where did I mess up? You know, literally is like going through a round of golf where you can remember every shot, every stroke in that round of golf. After a game, it's the same way. All you can think, at least me, all I could think about were the three or four plays that I screwed up and got killed on.
I wanted you to give us the inside scoop there. Now just point blank, Max Starks, a guy that's won two Super Bowls. What did you think about the third and two?
I didn't like it. I didn't like the call. I didn't like the formation. And I definitely didn't like the personnel.
Those are about the three things that happen in a play, right?
I mean,
before execution, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, they lined up correctly. But then after that, looking at who was in there, considering the moment, considering who you have at quarterback, considering the point of the game, where's the most pressure-filled moment, I don't care what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. You had 2.5 other quarters where nothing worked outside of the first quarter.
Mm.
This is our moment to overcome that. So I want to see the best on the field. I want to see good on good.
Now, here's where this gets really interesting. You have, number one, you know, the press conference, Steve Wilks is not interested really in backing down from the decision. Hey, third and two, what happened here when he's talking to Bickley and Murata?
I would tell you this. I have total confidence in the play that was called. We worked on that play all week. As I mentioned last night, I have total confidence right there in Chase. And we didn't execute.
So he went into, hey, the players didn't execute the call, but we've worked on it, and I believe in Chase. He never, ever has answered the question yet, why wasn't David Johnson on the field? He's basically deflected it every time. David Johnson was asked about it, on how mad you are, upset, what was wrong, David, why weren't you in the game? And it's David Johnson that tells us.
Yeah, it was actually the play before, the third and two. I was the play before that, I missed a blitz. So I had to, you know, go to the sideline and talk to Kirby about it because I actually did not see the guy, and that's my guy.
Wait. You were pulled because of a mistake?
He called me out to talk about it. Okay. And that's what I hope, and I want my coach to keep me accountable. I want my teammates to keep me accountable. And when I mess up, I want them to tell me. You know, I want Kirby to tell me. I want Wilks and McCoy to tell me what I did wrong.
Should it be the second down play that you messed
up? The second down play, yeah.
Even in that type of situation?
Yeah, because I have full trust in Chase. Yeah. Everyone has trust in Chase.
What do you think?
There was a dramatic pause from Max Starks.
Now, here's the thing. I love Kirby Wilson. Kirby Wilson was a running backs coach when I was in Pittsburgh. I have nothing but the utmost respect for
Absolutely.
Kirby.
Absolutely.
That could have got handled at the two-minute warning timeout, what happened. I don't care what excuse you can give me about why you pulled him, and I'm glad that David is a humble type of guy.
Great guy.
But there's nothing you can justify to me in that situation that makes it okay to not have your most dynamic playmaker on the field at the most critical point in the game. There's nothing you can say to me. I don't care if he missed a blitz pickup. They got 8 yards positive off of that play, and there was a two-minute warning.
Let me try. And I don't even mean – I'm totally playing devil's advocate. I don't even mean what I'm saying, but I want to try. If I have said – I'm the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and I got so sick of mistakes in preseason game number three, I've declared, next time you make a mental error, you're sitting out the next play. We got to get this fixed. You are sitting at everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Larry Fitzgerald. You make a mental error, you're coming out the next play. Now, if this happens, and I've already declared that, and now David Johnson comes back onto the field and he doesn't miss the next play, am I making the right decision? What am I doing now? Or am I an idiot for ever saying in the first place, you're out the very next play?
Players in the NFL last longer than coaches do on teams.
Mm.
And
let me ask you this. Are you in favor of in-game discipline? Because I am. I am
to a degree.
No, I said this earlier, Max.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I said it earlier. I am in favor of in-game discipline. And having said that, I don't know if I could have done it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have done it on third and two in that situation right there. And I hate myself for it. Because it's duplicitous and it's hypocritical.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely hypocritical. But at the same time, it has to be contextually based. We're an 0-2 football team, down two in the fourth quarter with a new quarterback in. And I know that even though, you know, because here, players mess up. We miss plays. Heck, if you ask BA to this day, hey, is Max going to miss a slot blitz one time a year for a sack every year that we do it? Yes, I do it every time. It literally happens one time every year. I always mess it up on 62 on the backside on a certain front, and it literally happens once a year. Would I want to get sat out after missing said play?
Offensive line is a little bit different.
But you know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit different.
But if you mess up a blitz call pickup, I mean, but it's at the most critical juncture. I get you need to prove a point, but it's so much easier to prove a point in hindsight. Like, hey, David, you messed this up. How many times have we gone over this? Okay, it's a two-minute warning. How do you feel? We got more stuff to do. And I just don't agree with the call at that moment. It's hypocritical. I agree with in-game discipline, but it's like it has to be weighed upon how egregious the act is.
I'm way late, but I still want to know. You're a player in that locker room. How do you feel about Steve Wilks now? He might have lost the game to prove a point. Now, there were plenty of other plays. But that's a decision of disciplining David Johnson that cost your team the chance to win. But you then went to the media and covered for him. He has never said it was David Johnson's fault. Let David Johnson decide if he wanted to admit it. What do you think the team thinks of Steve Wilks for all of that combined?
Well, I think they still had to say, okay, coach is no nonsense. We have to be on our game because – nobody is exempt, and it's a different type of aspect than when BA was here, and they got to get used to that. You have to be accountable for your actions, even to the detriment of the success of the team. Mm-hmm. At moments, I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to control this locker room, and I'm going to control the behavior because that's the only way that I know how, and that's how it's going to be moving forward.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Maximum Football comes up again Thursday, 8:15 to 9:15. Up next, a SportsCenter host who is a hardcore Arizona sports fan. How does he respond to Josh Rosen starting? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. ASU alum Matt Berry has just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can see him on ESPN SportsCenter AM. And we play the fight song for him because he is here today to answer a series of questions, which are, how do you go 2-0 and end up 2-2? Where's David Johnson on 3rd-and-2? And what's going on with the local teams? Matt Berry, go. You get 1 minute rant on any Phoenix topic that drove you crazy this last weekend. And oh, by the way, the Diamondbacks were eliminated this last weekend too.
Yeah, you look, it's not, first of all, good morning, gentlemen. Not the greatest weekend to be a Phoenix area sports fan. But my biggest thing is I am stunned at how non-competitive the Arizona Cardinals are. Absolutely stunned. It makes you appreciate Bruce Arians. It makes you appreciate even Carson Palmer with what he was able to do. I'm just absolutely in shock that this team, you could probably argue, is probably bottom three in the league. And with what we had coming back, with Cardinals had coming back, you had a momentum from the draft and Josh Rosen. You've got David Johnson healthy from injury. David Johnson, when used properly, is a top five player in the league. And the fact that he hasn't been integrated into this offense to be a top five player of the league, to me, is inexcusable. We've seen Mike McCoy do it before with Phillip Rivers and the Chargers when they were one of the best offenses in the league. I don't know that that's where the problem starts and stops. Mm-hmm. There certainly needs to be something done there with the Cardinals. That's my rant to the Cardinals. Get better. It's kind of embarrassing.
Man, what about – oh, go ahead.
I was going to switch to Arizona State, but I'll feel free. I'll go on the Cardinals for a minute.
No, absolutely. I was going to follow up and saying your thoughts on Josh Rosen and what you're seeing out of Josh Rosen on that one possession.
Look, you had to go to the second Sam Bradford and the Cardinals combined for 6 points and 350 yards the first 2 weeks of the season. A change needed to be made. I'm always one of those people that believe, okay, are you a playoff team with your rookie quarterback on the bench? Are you a playoff roster with a veteran quarterback? If you are, you keep the rookie on the sidelines, let him learn, watch, develop. If you're not, which the Cardinals clearly aren't, you start the Josh Rosen era now. Because, guys, what have we seen throughout the league over the first couple of weeks? We've seen that when Baker Mayfield got his opportunity, led his team to a victory. We saw Josh Allen look really, really good last week when he got his opportunity to start. Sam Darnold has been up and down, but at least we've seen some glimpses out of him. For me, Josh Rosen, I thought going into the draft was the most pro-ready than some of the other guys. We're going to see it this week if he can jumpstart this offense. There's just too many weapons on that side of the ball to be this inexcusably bad.
Matt Berry joining Doug and Wolf, SportsCenter AM host. And Matt, I'm wondering, you need to, you're representing an entire state when you're on the East Coast with all of the ESPN employees. And here was the last week. The last week was three straight games at Chase Field in which it's packed with Cubs fans, then a 50-50 sellout between Bears and Cardinals fans in which Khalil Mack actually asked for more crowd noise, and Larry Fitzgerald called it a road game, and then last night you could not see a red hat in a sea of blue at Chase Field against the Dodgers. As you represent all of Arizona at ESPN, how many times do you get bombarded with the word bandwagon town or not a real sports town? How often are you defending Phoenix?
You know what it is? It's the fact that it doesn't come up until the team start winning, because people understand that it's not getting the reputation nationally as a tried and true sports town. Because to your point, most of the time, like growing up in Scottsdale, I remember when the Cardinals played at Sun Devil Stadium, you'd go to a game there, and it was more of the visit. The Cowboys, that was a home game for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys growing up. And so it's kind of been that way forever because it's a town where people move because of the weather. And then when the Cardinals were winning, when they were in that heyday with Kurt Warner, it flipped over. Diamondbacks, when they were winning, it flipped over. But the second teams stop winning, I say this a lot about Atlanta. I mean, you look at Atlanta, even though they've got teams that can win, you can watch when the Atlanta Braves are in a playoff game, that place will be half full.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just takes time for, and winning in Arizona, it takes interest in the product for people to come out. And sometimes I think that's embarrassing, and sometimes it's almost justified because it's like, look, you're not going to put a winning product on the field. The teams that are coming into play Arizona, teams know that they have an opportunity to get tickets. Good for them for taking advantage of that. It's up to Arizona teams to stop it.
So, Matt, what about Herm Edwards? How do you feel about the Herm Edwards hire right now?
Okay, so through two games, it was the greatest hire in the country. He was getting all kinds of national attention, and everybody was talking about how great the Herm hire was. And I'm going to be on that thing until he decides he doesn't want to coach anymore. If Arizona State fans step back and look at where the program is, you win a game against UTSA, which obviously you should have. You go and win a game against Michigan State, which surprised a lot of people. You then go on the road and lose a game you shouldn't. And so that's the one game for me that stands out as probably the one that there needed to be a different outcome, because you probably shouldn't go on the road and lose San Diego State without their starting quarterback. But if you look a little bit closer, you see that they've been competitive and taken every game into the fourth quarter. They're not getting blown out. They're not being overmatched. They're playing football. I knew Herm was going to do this. He told me he was going to run the ball and play defense. He was going to keep the team in the game, running the ball, picking the spots where they can take advantage of certain matchups, and they've done that.
We have I'm sorry, Matt. We have a tweet from a fellow ASU alum that you need to hear about that's straight from France. And it is, I just played with Tiger today, and it is the best I've ever seen him swing the club. It's on plain and solid. I'm going to be asking for a shot on Thanksgiving. I doubt I'll get it. From Phil Mickelson, since you are a major player in covering golf for ESPN, give us your Tiger Ryder prediction.
My Tiger Ryder prediction is my Tiger golf prediction for the year. Greatest comeback story in sports maybe ever. And you get him over there with the rest of the Americans and guys like Phil and some of these younger players like Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. This team's going in with that kind of American swagger into place. I don't think they've won over there in 25 years. Golf just feels good again. And they tried to do it without Tiger, and they couldn't. The fact that he is, in fact, back and they're going over there to the Ryder Cup coming off a win. I love the time change for me on the East Coast because I'm at work early in the morning. It won't disrupt my football dysfunction. And so to get golf Ryder Cup with that kind of momentum, I think it's going to be one of the great watches of the weekend, especially with what Tiger just did.
Hey, Matt, thanks, man. Great talking to you. We'll see you down the road, baby.
Let's win something this weekend. What's going on? Like, is what Arizona sports can win this weekend? We've got Oregon State. Lock, win.
Yeah, that's one.
Who do the Cardinals have?
Cardinals are at home against the Seahawks.
Oh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
50-50.
That's right. Hold on to your butt. Thanks, Matt. Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
There's Matt Berry joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, or CoulterNissan.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, Suns open training camp today. And DeAndre Ayton, already has an enemy. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Marley coming back to the Suns? I think Dan can still dunk.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Throw it down. Hammer it, right? Of course he can.
He was playing baseball in a men's league. Mark Gray saw the film. And Mark Gray said, "Thunder, you run like you're mad at the ground."
Well, you know what? I was a ground pounder as well. I think Thunder Dan is a ground pounder as well. You can still hammer it, of course, right? Throw it down big time. I think the landing might be a little awkward.
The two right worst there. People to see run, worst, is Robin Lopez and Ed Malloy. When you if you ever watch those two guys run,
Ed
if you're
Malloy. Yeah, if no, you're, Ed Malloy.
If you're ever watching an NBA game, watch those two guys run. They try to run with their nostrils on the ground. It's very, very strange. It's
dirt
just
liquor.
It's very disturbing. Waistbenders as they run. It's kind of odd. This is still amazing to me that this was the start of training camp. That the declaration has been made. That the rebuild's over.
I feel like we check most of the boxes on our to-do list this summer. We have more shooting. We have a better defensive team, or potentially a better defensive team. And, you know, we have a lot of veteran guys to teach our young guys how to win.
So story number one is him declaring it's time to win and we're ready to go.
Yeah.
Story number two is him, in a sense, admitting, yeah, we don't have a point guard yet.
Right.
And there was a report that's just come out that says the Suns are interested in helping facilitate Butler's way
right.
out of Minnesota as long as they get a point guard from somebody.
Yes.
Could be a two-team trade, could be a three-team trade. They don't care. So that's the point guard situation. Story number three is the Booker hand. And that Booker thinks he should be okay.
Yes.
And be ready to go.
Let's all hope that Devin is right.
Story number four is that the high road was taken. Joel Embiid actually came out and said that Ayton was about to get his butt kicked because of picking a fight with him and going at Joel Embiid. Well, when it's time to go to Embiid and ask, okay, or excuse me, go to Ayton and ask, what do you think about Embiid saying that you're about to get your kicked? And he goes,
I can't really say anything. Oh. I haven't put the ball in the hoop. So the only thing I can do is probably just let my game talk, you know, just compete.
Man, I absolutely love that right there. Yes, DeAndre Ayton. Yes. Grow strong, Grasshopper. That's exactly what you say. Of course. And you know what you do? You go ahead and you take those words and you turn it into a nice little chip. And you take that chip and you jab it in your heart and you hide it there and you bury it, right? This is a man's league, and you better be ready to bring the intensity. Because Joel Embiid, I can guarantee you right now, he circled that date on the calendar. He has circled that date. I believe it's November 17th. Somebody go ahead and look that up for me right now.
You scare me.
November 17th. Is that honestly it?
I don't know. Just the fact that a date just pops into your head that fast about an NBA schedule.
I will promise you Joel Embiid has circled that date on the calendar. Have you, my brother? That is the question that I want to know. Have you?
But you say that, but here's the problem. That's two games out of 82.
I understand that, Douglas, but once again, you know what? There are some games that, let's face it, there are contours to certain games throughout the season, right? Mm-hmm. Some contours, some points are higher than others. There's no denying it. There's nothing wrong with identifying that and understanding it. This is going to be a physical, I would imagine, a very physical outing by Joel Embiid if, in fact, he is ready to go, and so is DeAndre Ayton.
If you want to try to burn it in memory, the beginning of a four-game road trip starts in Philadelphia on Monday, November 19th.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I was off.
And then the return trip, Philadelphia's one appearance in Arizona, is right after New Year's, Wednesday, January 2nd.
So did you say November 19th?
November 19th and January 2nd are the two dates to remember.
Okay. That is going to be, first of all, I loved his answer. Once again, going back to his answer. That's right. Take the high road, DeAndre. Always take the high road. But know that it's coming. Know that it's coming. And you better be ready to tap into the rage tree when you go out there and you compete. But you know what I also liked? What Ryan McDonough actually said right there is just the fact that he thinks they're going to be a much better defensive team. A much better defensive team. Do you think he's saying that because of DeAndre Ayton? I mean, it's hard, right? It's hard to imagine when the one knock against DeAndre Ayton was the fact that he kind of struggled on the defensive end of the floor, right? And he wasn't the quintessential shot blocker. Well, you know what? To me, he played more perimeter than he actually did down in the post for the most part, right? So I'm going to give him a little bit of grace on that. But once again, I thought it was odd that he said a much better defensive team.
Ayton says... Igor's already talking to him about defense.
Yeah, he always brings up Rudy Gobert, you know, how he protects the rim, how he really sets the tone of the game and changes the momentum of the game on the defensive end. So, we're big on that. In practice, he's always on me about it, always getting back and, you know, talking, being a general, being my guard's eyes, you know, that they can't see around him.
So would you think maybe Trevor Ariza, right? There's a guy that still is a good perimeter defender, right? There's a guy that maybe he's talking about. I doubt it's DeAndre Ayton once again. I just do. You got Igor Kokoshkov, and ladies and gentlemen, nobody looks at him and says, aha, defensive genius. They say the exact opposite for the most part, offensive genius. So whom could he be referring to? Devin Booker? I don't think so.
Yeah,
maybe it's Patrick Beverly.
Hopefully he comes, but I'm not
sure. Maybe it's Patrick Beverly out there that makes Ryan McDonough believe they're going to be better defensively.
All I know about Ayton is this. The Ayton I saw at Oregon in the game after the scandal broke with U of A basketball, that's a Hall of Famer. That guy's going into the NBA Hall of Fame as one of the greatest centers of all time. I said that Abdul-Jabbar. I said that Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes.
If that guy plays, that guy's going to the Hall of Fame as one of the greats of all time. The guy that played in Summer League is going to be an okay NBA player and never goes better than Marvin Bagley. Forever you'll wish they drafted Marvin Bagley.
Walking around, high-fiving, laughing.
The gap.
Isn't that great?
The gap was that big. And hopefully he plays like the guy that was in Oregon. If you subscribe to the Doug and Wolf podcast, you'll get right on your iPhone, right on your Android, every show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast, and it's brought to you by PhoenixHousePainting.com. You've got that opportunity to listen to us every time. And if you want to win tickets to see the Cardinals game, the Cardinals are taking on the Seahawks at State Farm Stadium, and we've got those tickets for you at 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15. Ticket window Tuesday opens up, and it's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. And maybe Vince will be nice to you and give you a couple tickets. Up next, Pulse Call isn't shy about sounding the lie detector. Plus, there's a flaw with Patrick Mahomes? I haven't seen it yet. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Doug and Wolf Show.
Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
That one caught me off guard.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Doug, what do you say you go ahead and continue with the fine broadcast?
I am on a roll today. It is flying.
The Doug and Wolf Show. Paul's Call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
No. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
All right, look, here at Paul's Call, we don't stand for the bull.
That is an absolute crock of
Pauly Polygraph, we always leave the light on, and the lie detector.
Louisiana, I think they've done some really good things there this season.
No. Come on, Nick Saban on his next opponent, Doug, Louisiana Lafayette.
Their defense has been, very disruptive.
No.
Do a lot of movements and stunning and things like that have created a lot of negative plays.
No.
We need to improve on being able to block.
Give it to him again.
Louisiana Lafayette Wolf just
lost to your guy, Coastal Carolina.
Be a dog.
All right, they lost to Coastal Carolina.
Be a dog.
Bama is the top dog.
I am number one.
I mean, Billy Napier's a good guy, right? Former ASU guy, but his team?
Not good.
So please, Coach Saban.
I know they're 1-2 record-wise, but they have a good quarterback.
No.
They've got a lot of good offensive schemes.
Stop it.
They present a lot of problems for you defensively in terms of adjustment.
I mean, this is at Lou Holtz mixed with Sepp Blatter.
But I'm the president of everybody.
I mean, everyone's held accountable around here.
What's up?
Including Nick Saban when we fire the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes and NBA Media Day Q&As in every direction.
What would you like people to know about you?
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball.
Does fun guy rhyme with Kawhi?
Dilly dilly!
I mean, I guess technically a little bit. Does anyone have any clue as to who and what Kawhi and his personality are all about? I mean, who is Kawhi?
I mean, it's just more question you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself.
Okay, well, we know one thing, as we found out moments later. Dude has himself a laugh. For the first time in Paulie Roundball recorded history, we hear Kawhi laugh. And it's worth the wait. Just, no, stop it. Listen to Kawhi crack himself up.
I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
What? Play
what
that again.
That?
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
I mean, for real, Kawhi?
I mean, that's bad.
That's not great. That's not going to go over well on a first date or anything.
That's sounds like he's ready to get, I don't know, passing a ball of goat cheese.
By the way, Kawhi was asked if he's long for Toronto.
If you look in the future, you're going to, you know, trip over the present. So this is what I'm focused on is this year, tomorrow, and just keep going after that.
Well, what did he say right there, Paulie?
Once again.
If you look in the future, you're going to, you know, trip over the present.
That's right. Well, so let me translate this.
That is such a – some coach stole them that, right?
Let me translate.
It resonated.
That's a high school statement.
That's I'm going to translate this for all 7 Toronto Raptor fans. He gone.
Hasta la vista, baby.
One and done in Toronto.
You don't find the first door and run out of it.
Back to, right now, Calvisa Consulting officially nicknaming Kawhi Kabai.
See ya!
Kabai-bye, Leonard. Beep, beep. Actually, speaking of hearing from someone.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
It's hard to ignore Mr. Mahomes.
Touchdown, Kansas City! Add another to the list for Patrick Mahomes.
13 touchdowns, no picks.
Wow, winning.
QB rating of 137.
That he's going to be a star.
And if you've never heard him talk.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was at my little brother's basketball game, and I saw all the stuff posted all over social media.
This is my first real experience listening to Patrick Mahomes.
Really, all I'm focused on now is just working hard, preparing like I've been preparing.
This cut has gone viral, gentlemen, because people are comparing Patrick Mahomes to Kermit the Frog.
Hey-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Oh, really?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Yeah, okay, Kermit, we get it. Do you know Kermit? You sound like Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was at my little brother's basketball game. And
I'm just saying, it's gone viral, Mahomes and Kermit the Frog, although...
Got all the calls and
he sounds a lot more like Rolf.
I was just
actually,
really...
Actually, you know what? Stop that for a second.
Come
I mean, I think with a voice like this...
I'm extremely excited. Yeah. I've had this game circled. Okay.
Now, that is a Muppet voice, though, but it's not Kermit.
But it sounds more like...
We're going to be physical. It's in our DNA. Yeah. That's why you come to LSU.
I mean, you know, Coach O, right?
I ran the play. I was getting through my reach.
Here's Mahomes.
To the left, and then I realized everyone else was on the other side of the field. Yeah.
But it sounds more like... I mean, maybe they both use voice simulators.
But we do want to be 50-50.
I don't know.
We want to spread the ball around and throw it. But when we run the football, we want to be physical as we can be.
Maloney, I want Ed Orgeron updates every at least once a week.
Just remember Deshaun Watson, ladies and gentlemen, right? Before you
remember Ed Orgeron.
Now Wolf. Wolf, do you think people ask Coach O if he's a former wrestler? Can I have some music, please, over here?
Speaking
of you, Wolf.
No.
Did I really
what?
Lose to you in fantasy football?
You did, people.
I mean... The Pauly Pigskins. We were riding James Conner last night, and we came up short.
He beats me. Straight up.
Okay.
It's what, PPR, Paul.
What's not cool is that we lost by a stinking decimal point.
0.0.
Doug,
zero.
Can I get a ruling here? We lost by 0.2.
Oh, come on!
Ron Wolfley, Team Wolfley 110, the Pauly Pigskins 109.8.
You gotta be joking.
How in the Sam name of decimal points did we stinking lose?
How did that taste?
Called points per reception. Point.
That last James Conner carry where it was negative yardage because he slipped? That was the difference!
Why?
I lost!
Why would you not be in a PPR league, my brothers?
I don't know. I don't even know what PPR means. All I know is I stinking lost by .2.
Yeah, Paul,
tenths of a point don't belong in football.
Let me tell you to feel a lot better because I still start Lev Bell out of frustration and denial, and I crushed Vince.
Oh, no.
Now, Vince, take that.
Wow.
You know Vinny's just perusing his fantasy team.
Big Benny.
Wrap it, Paul.
And now, a look at performances that have Pauly pensive pondering.
You're better than that, man.
You're better than that.
People.
What we've got here is
a global issue that we've been tracking for years.
Two young men in Siberia blew themselves up while posing with a grenade.
Selfie danger is extremely real, Doug.
You're better than that.
I don't like people dying in Pulse Call, but I don't mind on selfies.
The latest reminder.
Just this past weekend, a woman in Michigan fell off a cliff while trying to take a selfie.
It's not that rare either. In L.A. County alone now.
Last year, search and rescue teams conducted over 680 rescue missions, the most in 5 years, and many of them happening in remote locations.
What's behind all this?
The reason a lot of people are up there is because of selfies. The need to take a picture of yourself in a somewhat dangerous location.
Selfie rescues. Rampant to the point where the L.A. Sheriff's Department held a presser.
They need a helicopter to get people out.
People have to understand, people die up on those mountains. There are ones that we don't make. They're dead.
Ouch. You're better than that.
Don't be dead because of a selfie.
Psychologists say there are a couple of reasons for high-risk selfies. Number one is the risk itself. The dopamine rush makes us feel good. The second is plain old attention. We all want it and need it.
Everybody seeking affirmation.
You love me.
Right.
You really love me.
Yes, balls.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo.
Doug and Wolf's. You. Brought to you by Carol Royce. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is the host league just tweeted out scores. Eddie House had 130 points and lost to Jordan Bird. He got 130 points and lost.
Did he lose by .2? Did he lose by 0.2?
5.1.
Right, I got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Wolf's today. Peace and strength. It's all about you.